I simply call myself the Prince of Code because I want to create solutions which help people.
Welcome to Forever a Student Podcast, a podcast where the learning never stops. I'm your host, Aubrey Zorai.
Welcome to today's episode of Forever Student Podcast. Today I'm joined by Nkosi Danda. How are you, Nkosi?
I'm doing well, Aubrey. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How's China treating you there?
China's well. Things are back to normal. No more lockdowns and so forth. So yeah, it's entering summer now. So temperatures are a bit warm. It's favorable for small games of soccer or touch rugby or generally, you know, walking outside.
That's very cool. As you know, and as this side is now entering winter, so it is, especially this winter, it's been extremely cold this winter this time, but hopefully we adapt to the situation. So I just wanted to ask, you can just tell us a brief background about your life.
Okay, so my name is Kosnati Danda. I am 24 years of age. I grew up in Harare, Zimbabwe, in a neighborhood called Greendale. Yeah, pretty much that's who I am.
Same, yeah, we're all Zimbabweans, I guess. So how was it growing up in Zimbabwe?
It's interesting. You know, you've got your ups and downs. I witnessed the 2008s and 2007s, you know, with inflation and so forth, parents struggling to put a meal on our tables and paying fees and so forth. But I'm grateful that I was born in Zimbabwe. And I think it has molded me to become the person I am, like being innovative and seeing life through a different lens. And yeah, that's all I can say for now.
Being innovative means someone who's always like looking at problems and finding solutions. So yeah, the question becomes, how did you then get into tech?
Well, my journey started when I failed my IGCSEs. For the ZIMSEC guys, that's your O levels. I did my first 4 years of high school at Peter House Boys. That's from 2012 all the way to 2015. I could classify myself as a late bloomer. I think by then I didn't even know what I wanted to do in life or who I was in life. Like if you could ask my peers who went there at the time, that's the class of 2017. If I can recall, they will tell you that, oh, Danda, even up to now, we're shocked that he's doing software engineering. But as far as my journey started when I then moved towards Shed College after failing my IGCSEs, and things took a new leaf from there. Initially, my journey at Watershed started at the basics of life at Watershed. I was a first aider during the first aid club. It was merely a club called First Aid. And I actually saw that, oh yeah, I've got leadership skills and I was pretty much a good first aider. And then got introduced to the Leo Club, which is the equivalent of Interact for the Lions Club International. And I thrived well in that. And there was a problem initially within the club of low membership retention. Like over the past 2 years or 3 years before my inception into the club, then I just took an interest and just gave myself a task of like, okay, you know what? What if we created posters around the school? And then I introduced myself to graphic design. Initially, I started with a SVG program called Inkscape. I'm not sure if many people are familiar with it. Then I just started being a graphic designer. Then as the years went on, by the time I was entering my AS and A level, I picked up Python and I realized, oh, okay. So if you really want to breathe life into some of the designs you're making, you know, start with Python. And yeah, gradually I started building small projects, you know, in high school. And it became a tendency where my teachers in high school, especially my chemistry teacher, her name is Gloria Campira. She would always, you know, tease me and be like, you know, Danda, you should have just chosen computer science at A level. Why did you choose chemistry? I was doing MPC at the time. I was like, well, why did you choose chemistry? Because like most of the time, everyone sees you on campus, you know, you working with your laptop. Then, you know, it first felt like a joke. And my math teacher recognized the same problem, aided it to my parents during my final consultation day at A level. I'd be like, I'm coming on a Google. You know, I laughed about it. Then, you know, results came out. I don't really like the results. And generally speaking, I think my calling, God was pushing me to my calling already unknowingly. And that's how I ended up picking up software engineering at college. And yeah, right now I'm in my final year graduating as of January 2024. Yeah, pretty much that's my journey.
That's what I love about people's journeys. You know, it's never straight into programming. It's never just straight into programming. It's just you enjoy the computers first, then the more you spend time with them, you know, the more you start figuring out certain things and fixing things. Next thing you know, yeah, the programming level. For me, I had also a similar journey. I think growing up, it was mostly computer games, you know, just playing games until I was around Form 2 when I was introduced into web development by my teacher. It was Mr. Matemira. He introduced me to just, you know, the simple HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Then I didn't really code until like Form 4 when I was doing it for my GCSEs. Then I took it up at A level, and now I'm also doing it at college level, entering my third year in August. That was your intro into tech, right? How was the move to China? Was it straight after high school? You took a gap year?
The move to China was straight after high school. That was around 2019. So entered China a few weeks or a few months before the the pandemic happened. So yeah, pretty much that's when I entered China.
And how was it to settle in China? Especially, I think it's a winter, different culture from us in Zimbabwe, you know. Then how was the adjustment period? How long did it take you? Did you ever suffer depression? I've had brothers and sisters went outside the country and they said at a point you and your outside, especially being far from family, you get a situation where things are just not feeling right.
Yeah, it was, the first year was okay. It was okay. First semester was offline. That was the beauty of it. So I did manage to settle down a bit, but possibly the only flaw was to like get a bank account. For some reason, that was a struggle during my first year. Apparently, Zimbabwe was on a blacklist at the time, which was very astonishing. You know, as we all know, our friend China deals with us a lot. We import and export to them a lot. And then you get into like Bank of China, be like, I'm sorry, your country. The moment they take your passport, go to the bank, know that game over. Like literally, that's it. But China has been okay. I think the language barrier is a major issue, especially like, you know, you're coming from Zimbabwe, entering like straight up into your major. That was the unfortunate part in my case. I never did Chinese before. Usually the case is you do 6 months of Chinese, at least you get the certificate called HSK4, then you start your major. But in my case, that was a different ballgame. So it was kind of hard on the language side, you know, going to the markets or going to the mall. Now you have to like pull up your translator every time, even in the taxi and so forth. But you get a hang of it. And then you get basic words. You grow within their space and their sphere. And yeah, sometimes you get into trouble. You know, it's a communist state. Like for me, I'm a very outspoken person. I could compare myself to Kudamsa Siwa, if I could put it that way. I've gotten expulsion letters before just by merely standing up to something which was wrong. That's the cultural side of things. You know, when you're in a communist state, you can't say certain things, you can't stand up to certain things and so forth, especially during the lockdown. You know, you say something not befitting to their ears, but in your true self, you know that, you know what, this is actually wrong and this is what's meant to be right, and you get in trouble for that. But yeah, I've survived. I think I've grown in it, and I think it has made me much of a better leader as a result. And though like school authorities do see me as a rebel, but you know, like from the outside world, like many people are really astonished, like, wow, like Danda, wow, like, you know, actually you're really courageous to like stand up sometimes and say certain things.
I'm just so glad that you have managed to adapt to your new environment and things have gained flow. Happy for you, like yes to our life. So I think that's a plus side, even though you're causing controversies there, but we still see you post. If you go 1 week without posting on Twitter, you know that maybe our friend is in trouble with you. But otherwise, I think you'll be fine. Then you mentioned about faith. How about your faith? How much has it played a role in your life?
Oh, about my faith.
Yes.
Well, grew up in a Christian home. For the first few years of my teen life, seemed more like a chore than actually me believing in, you know, that Jesus is there and there's God and there's everything. It's not that I don't know that didn't exist, but like, you know how like when you grow up in a typical African home in such a setup, it becomes more of a chore. I think I really started to become a Christian when I finished high school, thereabout, started reading the New Testament, you know, to get a deep understanding of who Jesus is and his life and what's the meaning of him dying on the cross for us. And yeah, I just took it up from then. And then, you know, I came here to China. Fortunately, they were like Christian fellowships and groups. Unfortunately, it came more of a struggle when, you know, the lockdown happened and so forth. And this end of the world, especially in China, Christianity is kind of a taboo topic. So certain things you have to like do in secrecy, like they don't accept you being a Christian as much. They know that there is Christianity. They know that there is Christmas. They know that there is Easter. For them, they see it more of as a business rather than a religion. Because they make a lot of money during Christmas and Easter. So, yeah, that's all I could say about my Christian life.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Also, I think most people listening will agree, especially growing up in our Christian homes. As a child, it's always wake up early mornings on Sunday, let's go to church. You get there, you're being told to stand around saying, you truly don't understand why you're doing these things. It always takes that point when you reach a certain age of maturity where you finally look into yourself and, you know, start reading for your own knowledge. Now you're not reading the Bible for you, not just because you're always being told to read the Bible. That's when I feel like most people's journeys do begin. Some people might turn away from it, and at the end of the day, everyone's got their choice to their decision. That's a very interesting perspective you gave us here, especially on the winter secretive of things in China. Like, you cannot be a proud Christian, like how some of us have the luxury in Zimbabwe and I think most African countries. But I think, of course, you have to adapt in someone's house. Then my question comes to this now. When did you begin the personal branding? The course you done, the Prince of Code, when did that pointer idea finally actualize from it being something which was just in your mind and to like now and to make an impact in Africa?
Yeah, so on record, my name is actually not Kosi Danda. My legal name is Ishanesu Emmanuel Danda. So yeah, actually many people don't know that. But Nkosi Danda came about with me embracing my Zulu origins because my family is actually not originally from Zimbabwe. They're from Natal, KZN. Well, the story started when, you know, the feud between Muzilikazi and Ushaka and the branching out of certain tribes and so forth from Zululand. So my forefathers moved along a river, which is NKZN, which flows through Swaziland and Mozambique, which is called the Pongola River. And it's famously known for its deep pools. And Shona no Zima Ziva, you know, Ziva is a pool. So that's where I get my totem as well. And when they got into Mozambique, they moved along the Save River. And then they entered North Seta, which is present-day Chipinge. And they settled there for some time. And they became like three family names out of that. So there was Danda, Mlambo, and Dube. So the Mlambos and the Dubes, those are my aunts and my uncles. So anyone from Manicaland with the surname Danda or Mlambo, who's a Zira, like I can read you, oh yeah, there's my uncle. And then they continued moving around, you know, along the tributaries of the Save. Then they settled in Buhera, which is Manicaland. And then years over, the surname, you know, it got diluted towards the Shona side. So it ended up being Danda. So Ishanesu is, you know, God is with us. And then Kosinati is God with us, is with us. Then the Danda side is just me taking what was truly there before the dilution. So yeah, that's how the brand name came to be. So it's actually NKD. So many people were like the Caucasians in China or the Chinese who can't say Kosinati, they call me NK. Yeah, pretty much that's it. And yeah, actually a strong Pan-Africanist. I believe in valuing where you come from. You know, I've rubbed shoulders with some Germans this side. I'm a Rotarian as well. I'm in the Rotary Club of Shenyang. And when you speak to some of them, they're really proud of their origins. I know this one doctor friend of mine, the name's Dr. Ava. Her origins go all the way up to Norway, but she's American and she still embraces her Norwegian roots. And many Africans don't know where they come from. You know, yeah. So for me, being Pan-African, proud of where I come from, who I am, who my forefathers are, what they stood for, and where they were going, and where should I take from their journeys as well, is really important for me. So as much as Nkosinati Danda isn't my legal name, but I feel like I'm walking the journey my forefathers walked through yesteryears ago.
You've spoken so much. It just brought back memories of me this semester, the previous semester when I was learning African studies. It now makes sense why you learned this type of situation. During that point, it didn't make sense. Like, why am I learning this, doing this? But from what you said, as you begin to embrace most of these things, especially people out there from other countries, they truly embrace this. But some more Africans, like this thing of not being proud, they are always like coping at the things, never wanting to really embrace them. So for all those people who are listening, the Prince of Code himself has spoken. Let us embrace our cultures. Then on that topic, the Prince of Code, I remember when you first did it on Twitter, it was a bit of a controversial situation. Most people were on your case. Can you explain how the Prince of Code came to be?
Okay, so I call myself the Prince of Code, not that I'm the best at coding within Zimbabwe or Africa. I simply call myself the Prince of Code because I want to create solutions which help people. A prince is a person who is in a position of serving people, not necessarily being the best at everything he or she does. A prince has flaws. I've got my own flaws as well, you know, so like, we all have our flaws. We all have our weaknesses. Maybe I'm not good at cloud. Maybe I'm not good at backend. Maybe I'm not good at a certain aspect of frontend. And I embrace my flaws, but remembering that I'm serving people. I think if anyone has ever passed through my Twitter, they've seen that everything I create has got a purpose and it's serving other people as a result. Whether stakeholders engage with me and be like, hey man, we want to work with you, or they don't, but at least it's inspiring someone out there. I've seen my work has, you know, moved mountains in other people's lives. I've witnessed UI designers like Shun Chivandire taking the courage to do certain things, like the government of Zimbabwe UI UX, like the redesign of that, the Harare City Council. And I really like that. I'm actually like motivating other people to do more as well. So being a prince is not you being the best at something. It's you serving people. Do you wake up every day and do you serve people? And do you inspire people? Are you a model for the next person to look up to and be like, hey man, I want to be like this in the next couple of years? Like, do other people come to an inbox and ask for advice? I don't disclose everyone who comes to my inbox, but I do help quite a lot of people out there. So that's the concept of being the Prince of Code.
I'll say it once again, guys. The Prince of Code is spoken. Those who have heard, they've heard. That was exactly what you said. Someone who's always there to help others. In my life, personally, you have impacted my life to actually start being like dive deeper into the things I enjoy and actually push out, like show my work to people, even though it might not be the best at the moment, but just doing it every day encourages me to get better. And somehow it becomes like a winter domino effect where me being someone who's small does something, you also impact someone else. So I would like to thank you for your endless hours of working and always commenting on the small things people do. It's really inspirational and motivational to those people who are still on the come up.
You're very much welcome.
The big question, yeah, I think everyone is who's listening or who's going to listen to this episode is Silicon Mutap. What is Silicon Mutap? How did that idea come to be? Because I think it's really, it's too small, it's growing, but it's something I see a lot of developers are trying to engage in. They're always asking, what are, you said the first of May came, we're still waiting, people want more. What is Silicon Mutap?
Okay, so Silicon Mutapa is a subsidiary business unit of Vingo. So I'm actually the CEO of Vingo. So Vingo is a technology company whose history is mainly based on Great Zimbabwe, its economy, its trade, its power and prowess, and its yesteryears of existence. So Vingo is digitalizing Great Zimbabwe. So Silicon Mutapa is a tech community. One, two, we're actually building a platform where people can learn how to code, people can apply for jobs, people can mix and mingle with others on the platform. And we're planning to enter into schools where we've got certain factions from as early as primary school all the way up to the professional level, and each leader in that faction will be referred to as a Mwene. And our mascot is the cheetah, because we see our members being people who are independent and who can work on themselves and who can solve problems on themselves and who can interact with others to achieve a certain goal. And in regards to content coming up on Silicon Mutapa, for now we kind of moved everyone from Silicon Mutapa to Dwala. So Dwala is a fintech company taking its inspiration from PayPal, WeChat, you know, Alipay, PayPay, and M-Pesa, and so forth. So that's what we're mainly building now, because we want Silicon Mutapa to have a backing. Actually, we're planning to have a Mutapa Con in the next 3 years. That's one of our plans. So if Dwala succeeds, Silicon Mutapa succeeds, because Dwala will be the main sponsor of Silicon Mutapa. As a result, so right now it's 80% Dwala, 20% Silicon Mutapa.
Thank you for the information. I think a lot of people who wanted to know more about Silicon Mutapa get more and better knowledge about it. And for those people who want to know Silicon Mutapa on Twitter, that's where all the information is. You can always be there for the latest updates. Is there another platform people can find about this information, or it's just currently Twitter at the moment?
Currently, it's just Twitter. Then we had opened a GitHub. Haven't worked on it much. We just, so far, just put a README, and the upcoming projects we're putting into place. There is one which is not really going forward at the moment, which is the Vambo Academy one. Yeah, we had a couple of issues with the team there. So we kind of pulled back that one, but we'll probably want to engage with the SPCA, since they don't have any digital platform within Zimbabwe, and I'm sure many people don't know much about the SPCA. So yeah, we're planning to replace the Vambo Academy app with something to do with the SPCA. But otherwise, everything else you see there, we'll shortly start curating content for it.
Oh, thank you. And for those people who want to join Silicon Mutapa, maybe in the behind the scenes team, can they just contact you through Twitter? That's fine, right? Or there's not yet openings?
Yeah, you could gladly contact us on Twitter and, you know, tell us who you are, what you do, and, you know, what do you want to do for Africa and its children, because everything we do at Vingo is for Africa and Zimbabwe. So you have to be really pro-African. It's not a matter of you being good, it's a matter of, are you embracing Africa? Do you love Africa, and do you love what Africa has to offer, and would you want to fix Africa's problems as a result?
Thank you, Nkosi, for all that information. Hope people reach out to you for that. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's some people just out there also wanting to be part of the initiative. Then, near the end, what can we expect from the near future from you?
From me? Yo, as my life is too dynamic, man. But hopefully, I don't know really. I can't predict anything right now because it's just too dynamic. But hopefully, you know, just continuously working for the continent and the country, and hopefully making the initiators, which I'm building with Vingo, to leave a mark in rural Zimbabwe where education is not really that perfect. We're planning to have initiators in rural Zimbabwe in regards to tech. And yeah, pretty much that's it. That's it for now. That's all I could say.
I see life is an open road. There's really not much you can see. You just say, I'll do what needs to be done. What advice would you give for fellow upcoming Africans?
First of all, embrace your gift. Embrace your gift. Do your gift. Like, university is good. Like, I don't want to be, you know, that radical person. Be like, no, you shouldn't go to varsity because people don't care about the paper. But no, like, you know, university is good for experience and exposure and so forth. In my case, I could have chosen not to go to university if I really wanted to. But the exposure which I got just from coming to China and meeting and rubbing with other people, whether the relations we had were good or bad, you know, that exposure alone did quite a lot for me. So do your gift, but at the same time, you know, do school as well. Because your gift to open the doors for you, your gift to make you sit at tables, you know, maybe your own father or your uncles never sat on, just for you doing your gift. So do your gift, work for the continent, because Africa is a blank canvas. It's a white piece of paper right now. And there's still a lot more to do for the continent. Like, I think we've just put a small dot of ink at one corner and the rest is still white. And that's the reason why the Chinese always invest in Africa, because they see the potential we don't see. And if you do manage to travel as a young person, please go travel, go meet the world, expose yourself, expose yourself, expose yourself. That's one thing which makes some of my UI designs, you know, really pop up, because I've been exposed to quite a lot. Like, China's not necessarily the only country I've been to. Offshore Africa, I've been to a couple other countries. But, you know, just explore, explore, explore. See the world. See things from a different lens. Be radical. Be a game changer. Like, do the orthodox stuff. I just remember there's this one time I got into an argument with this one guy. I don't know what's his name. I don't know him personally. But we got into an argument with the fresh in a box UI. Be like, no, you can't do this because A, B, C, D. But I think it's about stretching the mind and trying new things. Just go try new things, like break some rules. Like, nice people never finish like first. Nice people is finished last. Break rules sometimes, you know, stand up for yourself. I'm not, when I'm saying break rules, I'm not saying go commit crime. Break certain norms that makes you stand out, that makes you unique, and embrace it. Show it to the rest of the world that, you know what, this is who I am. And this is where I'm going. And I would like to encourage people to never underestimate the small steps. Never underestimate the small steps. Many people don't end up being like programmers because they want to finish a 13-hour YouTube video in one day. Guys, that's impossible. That's impossible. Like, start small. Like, you know, when you go to the, you know, timelines, you press on YouTube, see the timelines. Just take a chunk, maybe 10 per day, or 20 per day, or 30 per day of those subsections. And you'll be surprised by the end of 6 months, you'll be able to build quite a lot. Don't gobble a lot of things. I've got this one teacher of mine who used to tell me that if you can't finish a plate of rice in one scoop, appreciate the small beginnings, appreciate the small steps, you'll get there. We'll get there. So I think pretty much that's what I have to say to everyone who's listening.
Thank you, the Prince of Cold, for the love and time you gave them. I know you're a very busy person, but it was very nice of you to take out the time to have this conversation. I have learned a lot, and I believe that the people who are going to listen to this are also going to learn a lot from you. I hope to do this another time, maybe in the near future when things are at a winter new level, we come back. This is more like a checkpoint in life where we can always say, remember when we're there, we talked about these things, now we're here. What have we done? What have we gone above and beyond? What have we changed? But thank you once again for your time.
You're welcome. And if anyone wants to engage me, my Twitter's always open. Gladly, you know, drop a DM, ask a couple of questions, and we kick it off from there.